Praise the Lord. I saw somebody here. I want to be sure it's the one I saw. Okay? Charles? Charles? Uh-huh. I wanted to be sure that it was not vision I was seeing. Praise the Lord. Are you still in the Air Force? Are you still in the Air Force?
Yes, sir.
You're still in the Air Force?
No, I've just discharged last year, sir.
Last year, you just discharged. Yes, sir. Okay? You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. I was working in my office when I was in the Air Force. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, Jesus has linked us together again. Amen. Hey, you said something. Any big fish here? There's a big fish. You brought a big fish. See, in the denomination, when they say, we have gotten a big fish, big fish don't come. That means a rich man or rich woman don't come. To them, that is a big fish. Amen. But we know a big fish, the fisherman, Jesus Christ said, told Peter, come and follow me and I will make you what? A fisher of men. And the type of fish that he's looking for, they are not crayfish. Church, hallelujah. We have different type of fishes. The fisherman that is going to fish, he knows that his net is going to catch different type of fish. But there are fish with qualification. There is a crayfish. There's what again? Well, there are two. There are two that is relevant to what I want to say now. We have crayfish. Crayfish is a fish that bend. Are we together? It's a fish, but it's not like the other normal fishes. Why? It bend. And there is the adage that say, na condition, make crayfish bend. Amen. Any fish that will make any condition on earth make you sidetrack the word of God, make you bend to do things contrary to the word. Hallelujah. You're a crayfish. The fisherman is not looking for crayfish. See, the difference between crayfish and the normal fish. You see, the process of getting the crayfish to edible estate is longer than the process for the normal fish. You can take the normal fish straight from the water to fire and give a Holy Ghost fire. But crayfish, igote. Then there is another fish again that looks normal. Fresh, very attractive. Not they wear earring. Not they paint face. Not they wear trouser. His Bible very big. Very normal, very attractive. But wet, it is called electric fish. Electric fish. Go near him and think he's a Christian. And you will be shocked by what you will see around him or her. It's electric fish. How many electric fishes are here today? How many crayfishes are here today? How many edible fish are here today? How many? Praise the Lord. A big fish is a seed of God. Whose name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking briefly today on the evidence that you are a seed. The evidence that you are a seed. And the reason is because for the past 2 weeks, I've been trying to establish that there are two seeds on earth here. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there are two seeds that we are planted in the Church of Jesus Christ. So, which seed are you? That is all that we're trying to establish here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, in another language, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, in trying to explain something for us to understand, the Lord God in Genesis 1, 26, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So every man, hallelujah, on earth is supposed to be in the image of God. And I told you that the image of God is not the nose, your head, the color of your skin or your height. No, the image of God we are made to understand from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, that the Bible says in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And what is that image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ says, if you see me, you see the Father. And then what is that image? John 14 verse 6, I am the way, Jesus Christ says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to the Father. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So Jesus Christ becomes the image that God wanted every one of us to look like. Jesus Christ, God brought Jesus Christ to let us know who every child of God must look like. Then you understand Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He said, for whom he did follow, he, God, did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, the destiny of a Christian is to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That is, you are not a Christian until you can say, if you see me, you see Jesus Christ. In the way you relate to other people, the way you handle issues, you handle those who love you and those who hate you, those you agree with and those you disagree with. The life that you live, patterned exactly after Jesus Christ. Those believers in Antioch, unbelievers saw them and nicknamed them after somebody they looked like. They resembled somebody in the way they talked, in the way they acted, in the way they lived their life, and they nicknamed them Christians. That is how we got that name, Christians. And every believer of Jesus Christ is supposed to have that nickname by unbelievers, not as a signboard on your body. The life that you live, we make somebody ask you, I know you are a Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was the expectation of Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19. 12 men he saw on the way, and they must have been carrying Bible. They may have been speaking in tongues, or they may have been acting like something that looks like Christians, but there was something else Apostle Paul saw. That he had to ask them, brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Hallelujah. He would not have asked that question if there wasn't something mixed up about the way they were behaving around. Maybe they saw funny, all this worldly dressing, but they saw them still carrying Bible. And that same question, if Apostle Paul will come among Christians today, he will ask some of us the same question, Brother and sister, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. And I'm reading up to verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. And I want you to catch the impact of this little exhortation, something I want to drop in the heart of someone. And remember, all we are trying to do, all that we are trying to do now, want to achieve now, hallelujah, is to prepare the people for the rapture that will soon take place. And the time has come now where we go beyond being religious. The time has passed that we have to go far beyond religion. Beyond religion. There are some of you that are going to church. You claim to be a Christian today only because you were born into a Christian family. That is the meaning of religion. You are going to church because you were born in a Christian home. Your father, your mother, you grew up going to church. It means if your father were Guru Maharaj, you will have been going to one shrine. You will never have been in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is needful for us to stress some things, to let you see Christianity beyond religion. That's why when you come here, pay attention to what we say. Because we say things that need you to go back and think over. Think over. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see people who have had experience with God, and their decision to serve God is as a result of that decision, their type of Christianity is different. They are the type that whatever else is the trouble around them, it is secondary. Nothing takes them away from Christ. The revelation of salvation is higher. Higher. What it does to my soul is higher. Higher than anything on earth can affect. Is it hunger? Childlessness? Sickness at the point of death? No. We were talking with Pastor Thomas yesterday when he said that we are the 11th hour, 6 o'clock workers. We are 6 o'clock workers. Because in Matthew chapter 20, he hired some in the morning, 9 a.m. And then he hired some again in the afternoon, some again in the evening. And when it was time to give them their wage, the same amount that he gave those who started in the morning is the same amount that he gave those he hired at the end of the day. Amen. Those who started the battle for this gospel, they started almost 2,000 years ago. What they went through. Anytime I read church history, I begin to thank God that I am the 6 o'clock worker. Brethren, they suffered. At our own time now, we are using microphone to preach. We are entering television. We are entering street and making rally and distributing tract. In their own time, they have to hide in the mountain and in the cave. If they catch them, they kill them for preaching this gospel. And at the point of death, none of them denied him. They brought pregnant women. They will line them up and bring one and tear her stomach alive and bring out that child, and that baby, woman will bleed and die, and they will tell the rest looking at her, deny that Jesus. Oh, you will go the same way. And they will say, what are you waiting for? Oh yeah, let me take my turn. I will be a good soldier. I will die at my post. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a smile, gives a song in the night season and all the day long. That song is not for us, so it's for them. The back. For somebody to say, what are you waiting for? Kill me. You know that it is not just a boldness. Every human being, when you see death, you will fear. But when something happens like that, it is a reflection of a stand that comes out of a revelation or an experience that person has had of the reality of God. And that's why I keep telling all of you that are gifted, that see vision, that hear voice, that see pillar of fire. As we are here now, you are seeing angels moving up and down. You have a better reality, a better knowledge of the reality of God than those of us who know they see. We just worship God by faith. You have an evidence, and to whom much is given, much is demanded. You should be the one to set the pace for those of us who are not the sea to follow, because there is something you know that gives you that confidence of the reality of this God. Therefore, gifted people should be the best men and women of faith. That's the truth. But when you see somebody who is gifted and has no fear of that God, then begin to ask, are you a seed of God or a seed of Cain? A seed of the serpent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody will go this far with God. See the angel tap you every day. Hear the voice of the supernatural Almighty God descend to your level and talk with you and tells you things that come to pass. In the name of Jesus, something will happen. Evidence that this Jesus is real. And you still leave this type of, you know, experience behind you and live a life like a devil or unbelievers there. Which seed are you? And let me tell you how to identify which seed you are. Before we read this Ephesians chapter 1, because of this comment, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23 is my emphasis. Be born again. Not of corruptible seed. That's the emphasis. You are born again. Not of corruptible seed. But of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Church, you don't understand. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Do you know why you are the son of your father?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Who is your father?
Dominic is Eleze.
Dominic is your father.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how you were produced to be Ogochukwu today? A seed passed from your father and was hatched in the womb, incubated in the womb of your mother.
Yes, sir.
That produced you 9 months after it was deposited there. Therefore, you are a seed of your father.
Certainty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the evidence? There is again DNA. Hallelujah. DNA will confirm which source you are coming from. But above all, hallelujah, when you are moving without anybody, your father doesn't have to stand close to you. Anybody that has known your father, if he sees you, there is something about you that you say, Kai, now Dominic became be this.
It's true, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If your father, they talk fast. If your father, they thief. Lord, so you thief. If your father, they drink. You grow up seeing your father drinking beer. You will drink. You will see nothing wrong in it. But that's the truth.
It's true.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see your father, they carry women, they change them. When your mama not there, they carry them, they come. What will happen? You begin to carry women too. Because you must be like your father. My friend, an Air Force officer, his first son, they carry woman up and down. He himself, he has been a womanizer. Until now, he's still a womanizer. He was telling me by himself that the son will sneak out with his car, carry women, even come and sleep in the house there. And before they wake up, they don't run, go. And the mama catch up. The mama, they mad, they beat her, and they mad, they beat her. Now he come up and say, what did happen? He said, this boy is a womanizer. He's carrying women, bringing them, blah, 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 blah. He say, honey, take it easy. He told me this himself. He said, he told her, he said, it's like a father, like son. He tapped the boy, he said, that is evident, this is my son. He said, clam, he said, that is evidence, you are my son. He said, if I was doubting before, whether let me bore you, now I know you are my son. He said, it is in the gene, honey, it's in the gene. Why am I saying so? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am born again. I am born again. I am born again. Are you born again? Yes, I am born again. I am born again. Which seed produce you? Is it the seed of Adam that produced you? Or is the seed of Cain that produced you? Which spirit, by one spirit, are we born into the body of Christ? Which spirit were you born into the body with? How do we know? Amen. The seed that we got born again by is the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed. While Peter yet spake, the seed was released. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is given to them that believe. When you believe what? Believe is to receive the seed of the Word of God. When you receive that seed, something happens inside of you that brings you, gets you born again, brings you into that body of Christ, and you become a Christian. Depending on which seed, if it is an incorruptible seed, you will live an incorruptible lifestyle. But if it is a corruptible seed, you will live a life of corruption every day, disgracing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you must reflect your origin. Jesus Christ made it clear in Hebrew chapter 6. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Verse 7 and verse 8 is the mystery explained. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now listen, praise the Lord. Listen, church, what Apostle Paul is explaining there. He says something, he said, it is impossible for anybody that has seen the reality of God. You are partaking, you have seen the evidence of the reality. You have seen, you've enjoyed the anointing, the glory of God, and everything else, and you still fall away. He said, it is impossible to bring that person back again. Now, I said, this is the reason. What he's actually using that scripture to explain is that you can only reflect your origin. Then he said, the rain that falls to the earth. Outside there, where we cleared and then they are parking cars there. The earth there. You do not know that there are different types of seed on the ground there now. How you will know is when rain fall. When rain fall, what is on the ground will come up as a result of the rain that fell. It is when they grow now, you can now say, this one is mango, this one is ugu, this one is this one is there, this one is this. But they have all been there before, waiting for rain. And the rain of God falls on the just and the unjust. He says, when that rain falls, then they grow together. All of them will grow up. Then that which is briar, thorns, what happens? You gather them away after they have grown. You gather them away, and what do you do with them? Hell fire. You burn them. That ground there is the church of Jesus Christ. Seated down, even in bride assembly now, in the church, different seeds are sitting down watching me now, looking at me now. We don't know who is who. We will know who you are after the rain has come down. The anointing. Somebody has not received the Holy Ghost. You see them very quiet, very humble, very, wait, after our June camp meeting, something happened that she too now began, she received an anointing and a gift began to flow. Psalm 68 verse 18, he God giveth his gift to all men, even to the rebellious. And the gift and calling of God is without repentance. He giveth his rain, hallelujah, to the just and to the unjust. Church, listen. He giveth his rain to the just and to the unjust. The rain there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who is this just and who is this unjust? They are all sitting down waiting for the rain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is bringing the rain to the owner of the farm. That farm is the church of Jesus Christ. the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He's referring that farm, that vineyard is the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Seated there are people that must have eternal life. But among them, there are also tears. But he's such a merciful God. He will release the anointing. But depending on what type of seed you are, the true seed of God, the anointing will come upon you and pierce through to your soul. But the tears, or the breasts as he called them, what happened? Hallelujah. It falls only on their spirit man. It does not go to the soul. The foundation of God standeth sure. He God knoweth them that are his. The rain fall on the just and the unjust. But it is that rain that manifests which seed you are. By their fruits ye shall know them. A corrupt tree will bring forth corrupt fruits. That's the truth. A good tree will bring forth good fruits. And a corrupt tree will bring forth bad and corrupt fruits. So, which seed are you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The seed of God. Because when we talk about the book of life, the book of life, we are speaking about God dealing with us, not by accident, but dealing with us according to his divine timetable. By foreknowledge, knowing who is who sitting down here today and claiming to be followers of Jesus Christ all over the world. By foreknowledge, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. In the beginning was a thought. Which beginning? The beginning before the creation of man. Knowing that in creating man, the serpent will tempt man, and man will be condemned and will go to hell. But he sees some people there that if he reveal himself to them, hallelujah, they will believe him. And because of them, he sent his only begotten son to the cross on Calvary. That is the doctrine of predestination and eternal security. For no man can come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you. That is what John 6:44 says. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He brings you. Why does he bring you? And he does not bring other people that die as unbelievers by foreknowledge. That is why he said he knoweth them that are his. They are there. So the seed that is there, they are the seed that their names have been written before the foundation of the world. For whose reason? For which reason? He sent Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary. Everyone, their name is in the book of life. Not too many people understand salvation. I was watching a preacher yesterday evening on the television. And he was given praying, you know, an evangelical prayer. Say after me. Those of you who are watching me now, you give your life to Christ, straight for your salvation is very easy. Just believe. Say this. I believe. Yes, I'm now born again. I'm now born again. I'm now a child of God. I'm now heaven bound. I am this. I am this. I am this. Did you say that? Oh, praise God. Now you're born again. Oh, aren't you happy you're not born again? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You're born again. You see, you are not born again. And I'm saying somebody watching that will truly say he's born again. There are people preaching the gospel that don't even know the meaning of the new birth. You can only be truly born again if you are a seed of God, whose name he wrote in the book of life. That is the big fish. The big fish, the reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary, for the remission of the sins of those whose names are in the book of life. So how do I know that my name is in the book of life? How do I know? How do I know? Listen, Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are there, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, listen to the wordings of this revelated man of God, Apostle Paul. According as he has chosen us in him. When did he choose you? Choose you. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. When did he choose you? He chose you the day you came to church. He chose you the day you came to the altar. He chose you the day you gave your life to Christ. No. From before the foundation of the world. What did he choose you to do? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, our destiny was determined before we even knew him. What did he determine us to be? He predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My emphasis here is that your destiny is to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And it is an image of holiness. How do I know that your name is in the book of life? When God, the day God decides, today is your turn to come in. Because your name is in the book of life, there is a pathway he follows with you. He can never save you and leave you to live anyhow life. First Peter chapter 1. This is what so many people have never taken time to study. Verse 2. See the way he put it. Verse 2. Elect is addressing the church as elect. Elect means the choosing one. So he's saying the choosing one. That is here. He's not talking to unbelievers now. He has finished evangelism. Now he's talking to people sitting down now in the church. You are the elect. Can I say elect? Put up your hand. Elect of God, elect, elect, the choosing one, choosing one, choosing. Wave your hand, it's to the glory of God. It's not by works. We did not earn it. It's his grace. It's his grace. God bless you. I have my brothers, same father, same mother, sisters that died without knowing Christ. But here am I. He did not allow me to die until I got to know him. And when I asked him, why did you allow them to die without knowing you? And as stubborn as I was, you still reserved me. The first thing is, he does things according to his pleasure. So don't even question him. But another thing is, by foreknowledge, I know you, Moses. That although every day you are in nightclub, carry women up and down. I know that you are doing that in ignorance. The day I reveal myself to you, I know you will stop all that nonsense. But then, if I reveal myself to them, they will die rejecting me. And because of it, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you, Moses Alu, before the world began. I know you, that's why I am the Almighty Omniscient God. I wrote your name in the book, and I have kept you protected, that you will not die until the death I have assigned for you to come in. Oh, and the evidence is that when I met with him, all my lifestyle is changed. It changed. That is what he saw from the foundation of the world. And he wrote my name there. He wrote my name there. He wrote my name there. And why? My name is there. Your own name is there. Me, the day he caught me, I stopped fornication. You, your own, you even increased the number of women. And you are speaking in tongue. How can your name be in that book? My name be in that book too. So you know that some of us are just sticking the feathers. We're not Christians. We're not Christians, so we're not Christians. We are not Christians. So many of us are speaking to somebody sitting there, they hear me. Now you are the talk. You are not a Christian because you are doing everything unbelievers are doing. So how have you benefited from the cross of Calvary? As many as receive him. You say you receive him. Have you received the power to be a son of God? The power to be a son of God is the power that changes a sinner to a saint. That's the power to be a son of God. The power of transformation. Nothing has changed in your life. And you still say, if Jesus come today, remember me, oh Lord, my God. Remember you where? If he's going to remember you, he will change your nature. That is a remembrance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First Peter. He said, elect, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That is how I became an elect. How? We were elected through. Hey, somebody underlined that verse. It's very deep. We are elected through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification there is cleansing of the Spirit. Unto what? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see? So before you answer him, amen, he described who an elect is. Before he blessed them, he said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. But we abound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through what? Through what? Through sanctification. See, Peter said the same thing. Apostle Paul, here again to the Thessalonian church, is saying the same thing again. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Our salvation is through the process of sanctification of the Spirit and believe of the truth. Two things. Hallelujah. If you're a seed of God, the first one is that He, God, will take you through the process of sanctification. It's not enough that you enter water. Water is to break the curse that has been following against us, water baptism. But after that, if it is God that has called you, He will begin to position you to deal with that serpent seed that is mixed inside of you. To cleanse you, the process of sanctification is the process of removing that sin nature. All the excesses of the flesh, all ungodliness, your mind, your heart is renewed, rearranged. Your spirit is changed. The things that used to excite your spirit man, suddenly, you know, you get repulsive when you come around them. The worldly music offend your spirit. Your spirit reject it. When you're in an unholy atmosphere, your spirit will reject it. When you find yourself doing anything that does not bring glory to God, your spirit will react. It is as a result of a process of cleansing called sanctification. Until you can stand and it is a supernatural work of God. It's not you making any effort to stop to drink, to stop to smoke, to stop. The interest just dies like that. Until you yourself, you'll be wondering, now maybe this, I know they smoke again. Hey. Now maybe this, they give me beer, I know great drink. Hey. Now maybe this, if I lie, no more peace. Until I go, I beg, I'm sorry. That's why I talk, and I lie. Then peace comes upon you. Hallelujah. Now maybe this. This is to abuse me. I know vex, come out in teeth. Ah! I don't change. Hey, true, I'm born again. Because I know who I be before. I will show you where I come from. We have not had people who claim to be Christians. Don't try me or you will know the other side of me. They still have the other side reserved somewhere. They keep it in case they need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Nothing. You are not a Christian. No. I am saying it hard for somebody to begin to take your Christian life more seriously, or for you to know that through you are a devil. You should be sincere with yourself now. You are a devil. You know you are a devil. You are a devil. You have not seen after somebody received the Holy Ghost, as I was explaining. Suddenly, when he was did not have the Holy Ghost, you did not hear anything. Very humble. But as soon as he received an anointing and a gift begin to operate, even the way he walk will change. You talking to me like that? Amen. If it is God that you received, praise the Lord. Who sent me that text on humility? Who was the person? Is it a man or a woman? I replied to you. Is the person here today? Who is the person? Wave your hand. It was a very interesting text message about humility. Who? Who is the person? Wave your hand. Who be the person? Now, woman. Who? No, are you? Do you get what I? You sent it and I replied to you. Eh? Who helped me? Let's hear. It was a very interesting because it has to do with what comment I'm making now.
Microphone, hurry up.
Give him. Oh, you are the one. What was the? You said it's humility and natural, something like that. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I asked a question, sir. I said.
Yes.
That I sense humility in you very much. And I asked the question, was it in the process as a cause of your conversion that it grew up, or was it a natural something with you as an individual? Praise the Lord.
Yes. He said that the humility he sees around me, he said, is it a natural trait or is something I acquired as a result of my conversion? And I sent him the answer. I said, listen, I said, two things happen when you have a genuine experience with God. I said, the first thing that happens when you have a genuine experience with God is that it keeps you humble. A true revelation of salvation makes you act like Apostle Paul acts. All his achievement, he counted them as what? Dung. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And I told him, certainly I am not like this. Oh, it is an evidence of my conversion. Because that's a colleague in the military. We as officers in the military, we are trained to be proud. You can imagine somebody that is trained to be proud. Every military officer, we are trained to be proud. I don't know whether it's still maintained now. Have you ever seen a military officer in uniform? I mean a commissioned officer. Sit down, Okada. If they see you, even take bus, public bus, you are in trouble if they see you. You are supposed to charter taxi. Charter it. You are not supposed to be seen in beer parlor. You are not that. Look, you are trained. That is why. Have you seen the way when they wear uniform, the way they walk? They own the whole world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the way I am now, it is evidence I have met with God. I have met with God. Praise the Lord. And God will use me to judge those who were not even in the military. And their own. They started to be proud after a gift started manifesting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me not go too far. That is evidence of conversion. That's evidence. Evidence of conversion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know. Somebody is diverting my attention here. He said, Pastor, you said the rain is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I think it is the anointing. I said, question, is the rain the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or is it the anointing which can be given to both true and false seed? I told you, listen to me when I am speaking. Listen. Maybe somebody didn't understand me. Genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost is that rain. The rain that falls on the just and the unjust. I say, when that rain falls, a true predestinated seed that is in that place that the rain is falling, the Holy Ghost will fall and pierce through to the soul. But he who is not his own, his name is not in the book of life, his own, that same Holy Ghost, we end only in the spirit. Because he knows who he has come for. Am I clear? That is the rain. Certainty. Pastor Thomas, what is written is written. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is the mystery that people don't know. If not, receive the Holy Ghost. Me and you, we stand like this. I fall down, bro. Begin to speak in tongue. And from that day, my life changed. You too, begin to see vision even higher than me. But from that day, now you begin to acquire girlfriends inside church. But from that day, now my own change. You from that day, now you start the life where me, I don't come out disease. And yet it is the same Holy Ghost that came down. Why? The one that the name is in the book of life. The Spirit came and said, hey, now this one I define. He will follow me and pierce through to my soul. But he will come to the other one. This one said, he want anointing, take it. Do you know the same blessing that he gave Isaac is the same blessing that was given to Ishmael? 12 princes will come out of you, Isaac. The same thing, 12 princes today. They're in the Jacob. The same blessing. But there is a promise. Hallelujah. Was on a particular person. By the same God, the rain fall on the just and the unjust. One fall, and by that fall, it worked regeneration on one. On the other one, it anointed the serpentine nature more on you. It's a mystery of redemption. By their fruits, ye shall know them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I try to let you know that our call is a holy call. It's a holy call. We are called to serve him in holiness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's read one scripture. 1 John chapter 5. Are we there? Hallelujah. I want somebody to go to the mountain after this. Make your calling an election. Sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. Are we there? Amen. Our God is a good God. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Sinneth not here is you have no pleasure in sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And the church will say, amen. Now, verse 18 again. Let me read verse 18 again. Hallelujah. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Why does one that is born of God, why can he not sin? Why does he not have pleasure in sin? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Your father is righteous, therefore you too, you will be righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That is, you are a seed of devil if you have pleasure in sin. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Why? For God's seed, his seed, remained in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You see? Hey, which seed? The seed that you were born with is an incorruptible seed. The word of God. There are people that are born by the will of man, not the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I say, we are born again by the will of God, not by the will of man. There are some people that are born by the will of man. I've explained this here before. The scripture says so. Hallelujah. John, go to the book of John. John chapter 1. But as many, verse 12 and verse 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which we are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of whose will? The will of God. To be born again by the will of God, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man. It means some people will be born again by the will of flesh. Do you know the will of flesh? Listen, church, the will of flesh is you. You suffer. Oh, you don't know what to do again. Oh, you say, make I try this church people safe. Then you decided to go to church. From that day, you buy a new Bible. Then you say, I am born again. I'm born again now. That is the will of the flesh. Now, wahala, send you to Jesus. Maybe he call you. The will of man. The will of man is, you want to give your life to Christ? Stand up. Stand up. When I was inside the Ikoyi prison, ministers from Four Square Gospel that came down, when they preach, finish, I used to go and sit down in the church there, make I hear what they do to pass time. Make I hear what they do inside prison yard. Then, when it is time, because they sent them there, so they have to take a report of how many people gave their life to Christ. From there, they will promote them from lay reader to pastor, senior pastor, you know, depending on the report. So that day, then they will come, stand up, they make altar call. Why are you sitting down? The others will go around, stand up now, brother, stand up, give your life to Christ, stand up, give your life to Christ, stand up, give your life to Christ, stand up. They came to me, they said, stand up. I said, stand up for what? Stand up for what now? I heard what you said. You've not said anything to convince me. So what do you want me to stand? I should go to the altar for what? But some people stood up. And they stood up like that and they went to the altar. Say after me. Father, say it. Father, the man worried you too much. So, Father, from today, I'm born again. Did you say that? You are born again. This one, you are born again by the will of man, not the will of God. Now that man make you born again. And you are born again because he said you should say you are born again. So you are born again by the will of man, not the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is the nonsense that is going on in churches today. And people think that they are born again. You can, and he that is truly born again does not commit sin. Why? His seed remaineth in him. The thing that made you to give your life to Christ is in you. Anytime you want to do anything contrary to the will, that seed will remind you, don't do it. Don't do it. That thing that he planted on you that made you to take a decision to serve him is in you. Therefore, you can't have pleasure in sin. And if for any reason you fall, that thing continue to torment you until you go and make it right. You do restitution. You go and confess until you repent. That is it. Which seed, therefore, is in you? That every day you commit iniquity, you drink iniquity like water. And yet, everybody in your environment know you to be a Christian. No. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read that and close on shortly. 1 John. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. I want you to mark these scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, verse 28. And now, little children, he said, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is born of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the truth now. That's the truth. Now, the second thing that our calling, we are called unto through sanctification. And the second one is believe of the truth. That's why 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, 15 says, praise the Lord. And what is it to believe the truth? What is it? What does it mean to believe the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth. Hallelujah. Pilate asked him, what is truth? What is truth? Not too many people know what is truth. See truth standing before him. He's asking, what is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. The way that God has made. Any other way is the way of a thief. They will never get to God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. This is the way he put it. Hallelujah. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that said he abided in him, Jesus, ought himself also so to walk, even as he, Jesus Christ, walked. The Bible truly is a mirror. It's a mirror. So that everybody reading this Bible, you can know which side you belong. You will know whether you're a hypocrite or you're a true Christian. It's very easy to know. Very, very easy to know. In John 4:24, he says, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 8:32, he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. And to believe the truth, to know the truth, if evidence that you know the truth is that wherever truth is spoken, you will recognize it. You will accept it. You will eat it. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. What he's saying is, except you understand what he did on the cross on Calvary, his flesh that was offered and his blood that was offered, except you understand what it means, you will never have eternal life. Because there are people that hold Bible and they still don't understand what happened on the cross on Calvary, because they have not yet benefited from what happened on the cross on Calvary. If you are still living a life contrary to this Bible, you have not benefited from the cross on Calvary. No matter how much you say in Jesus' name, demons are cast out. Remember Matthew 7 says, not all that say Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom. He said, at that day, many will come and say, I was not in your name. I cast out devil in your name. I did this and that. He will say, get away from me. He said, I didn't even know you. Get away, ye that walk iniquity. So Jesus did not just go to the cross on Calvary to give us anointing to cast out devils. He went to the cross on Calvary to change a sinner to a saint. That is the major reason he went to the cross on Calvary. That's the truth. That is the major reason. Any other attachment, they are just attachment. They're just attachment. Until you catch that, you are not yet a follower of the truth. And John 8:31, it says, if you who claim to be my disciples, evidence that you are my disciples, say, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? The evidence that you are a disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence is that you will continue. You will not start and stop halfway. When the storms rage, that's why I say crayfish, you bend. When frustrations come, you step backward. Temptations come. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And some people brag because God has given them revelation. You know the doctrine of the serpent seed. You know the doctrine. Who is the Antichrist? You know correct water baptism. You know the Godhead. In fact, you know the prophet of this age. You know all the mysteries in the Bible. Hey, Judas also knew them. Judas also knew them. Demas also knew them. Alexander the coppersmith, he also knew these mysteries. He knew them. Jesus will speak in parables to the outside world. Then there is a few group of people, 12 disciples, that he will give them the depth of the meaning of the parable. Judas was among those that knew the depth of the mystery of those parables. Yet, hallelujah, he could not make it. So you get why Peter said, be diligent to make it your calling and election. Sure. He said, be diligent. Because some people will not understand why Apostle Paul said you should work out your salvation. Work it out in fear and tremble. The evidence you are a seed of God is reflected in your attitude towards your eternal destination. The way you live your life will show where you are coming from. Judas had a position. Judas was close to Jesus. He was sleeping with him. He was rising with him. They were bathing together. They were eating together. They were praying together. They discussed together. Very, very close. In fact, he was so close until he was the next important person in that church to Jesus Christ. He was the treasurer, the head deacon. And yet, he did not make it. That's why I told you, church, the true seed of God that are here, if it is gift that is making you to be a member of this church, prepare, gift will soon take you out of this church. If it is anointing that brought you to this church, because there are some people that are busy, they are here in this church, some of them serving in various capacities in this church, all that they came to this church to collect is the anointing. When they feel they have collected enough, then they will take off, go out and say they want to open their own church. With what? There's one of them that left to go and open church. We stood him up before all church workers. He has spent more than 10 years in this church. Can you name the 7-star messengers? He stood up. 7 church age messenger. Apostle Paul, Brother Abraham, Apostle Paul. I don't forget. We were so embarrassed. Shame catch us. But every day, fire, 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 fire. Oh, hey, vibrating, vibrating. Vibrating, vibrating, and you know nothing about the source of that vibration. That is not the identity of the bride. The identity of the bride is the word of God, because we are a word bride. Church, listen, I have said it to all the ministers, I have said it again to all of them listening to me now on air. Church, anybody that will leave this church to go and start a ministry that you hope to counter or fit into or join what is going on out there, if you are, it's like restaurants. Anybody, have you gone to some places where you see signboard, restaurants plenty? I have seen some restaurants. I went to Gombe in the car park, the garage, motor garage. I saw a sign, Mama Mbogidi. Yoka. Eh? He said, it's there. He began to name all the Igbo delicacies. I saw another one. Now, Mama Kalaba. Then he put his own there. Hallelujah. Now, if you are going to open your own restaurant, you must have something that Mama Nyosa and this one don't have. If not, you're not going to get customers. So, let me tell you, what the church lack is not anointing. In the outside world there, the church is bereft with anointing, nyafu, 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 everywhere, because if you don't have anointing, nobody will come. And so, before you know what, some of them now go and jam it and jam plus the original one, plus the one that we add on top to make people say they are anointed. Then you want to go out. Church, this ministry, that's why I told the press department. I said, we went to a television station, Time TV, some few years back. We wanted to use their station, you know, on our daily broadcast. And the owner of the station came to me. He said, you see, to package this in so that people will come, anytime you come on air, be given testimonies. Just be given testimonies of what God is doing in your ministry, because that is what people like to hear. And they will come. Then I say, sorry, sir. That's not what I'm bringing to your station. He said, what are you bringing? You just waste the money for nothing. How will they get sponsor? I say, I am going to spice your station. I am going to give your station something that other pastors don't have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, what is it? I said, the word. I told Shile, I said, I don't want to be known as a miracle working pastor. I want the whole world to know me as a teacher of the word. That's what I want, my identity. They have enough anointing there. They need somebody to teach them Bible. Therefore, ministers, people are tired of abracadabra outside. Don't waste your time looking for anointing here. Look for the revelation of the word. Somebody will enter your church and he will hear something he has not heard before. He will sit down there. He shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That sister, Benita, you told me she was a teacher in her former church, but just invited her to one program here, making your calling relation sure in June. The last day she came here, she said she heard what she has never heard before. She didn't say, I saw what I didn't see before, because she has seen miracle tire. Maybe her pastor has his own in his hand. Take it. You fall down. Take it. Amen. Every day she has been falling. Every time she will fall, she will stand up again. She will fall, she will stand up again. But one day she came here. On Friday she heard something she didn't hear before. On Saturday she phoned her church. She said, I'll not come again. I resign. I've seen what my soul has been looking for. And so many of you here, it was anointing problem that brought you here. But when you came in here, you had something that made your problem to look little. You decided, even if this problem will kill me, let me go to heaven. All of a sudden, you understood what true salvation is all about. The last scripture, 1 John chapter 3. The first three verses there. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. Every one of us, shall we read it together? Shall we go? And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. You have a hope of going there, of seeing Jesus face to face. You have a hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a hope of living a life. Hallelujah. That is free from all these struggles. Free from all these struggles. You have a hope. He said, everyone that has this hope in him purifies sanctification. Purified himself, even as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. I don't finish. Because there are some, even if I start talking until evening, then they look their time, the appointment they have with their girlfriend. There are some people here, maybe there's a sister here, when you close here now, now your boyfriend house, you go sleep, from there you go come go work tomorrow. Now it's true now, no matter how you say it, the reason is because such people, there's nothing in you to receive truth. The seed is not in you. May you receive that seed. Bow down your head wherever you are. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Oh, this is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power
to do your will.
Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life.
Oh, cover
my head to toe.
Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life.
Oh, cover my head to toe. Oh, give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing.
Oh,
in my life. Cover my head to toe. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. One more time. Sing anointing. Yes, Lord. Oh, give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray. Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life. Cover my head to toe. Give me the power to do your will.
Oh, Lord. Your head. You see, I was not saying this to condemn anybody. If you are not a seed of God, God will not bring you to come this way. Those who are not seed of God, God will not give them opportunity to hear something that they can repent. I'm saying it hard so that every true seed of God living careless life, you can wake up and face reality. You will not die untimely death, but who knows the time? Who owns the time? God owns the time. What if he calls you home tomorrow? In which estate will you face him? After hearing all these truths, he's a merciful God. I don't know how many here that believe you are a seed of God, but you have lived a careless life. You have disgraced the name of the Lord. You have not positioned yourself for God to finish his work of redemption, salvation in you. You have not done it, but today you are submitting yourself. You are surrendering before him just as you are, that the Lord will touch you and do something that can make you also speak boldly like this wretched sinner, Pastor Moses Alu, that has been changed like this. You too, you can be changed like him. He's not a partial God. I'm not the only one. You are hearing my own. There's somebody sitting next to you there. Their testimonies are even better than my own. They're sitting there. You can hear my own. There are others there. I am not the only one. Many of them are positioning themselves for God to walk a walk of salvation. Why are you so careless? If he doesn't love you, he won't give you that grace. He won't cause you to come here. Who will tell the Lord as you are praying now? From your heart, I surrender, Lord. I surrender. Touch me one more time. I'm talking to Christians. Touch me one more time.
Oh Lord, I need a touch from the Master.
I need a touch. from the Master. Need a touch from the Lord.
Touch me once again.
Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time.
Touch me one more time.
That's the prayer of a backsliding Christian here. That's the prayer of a true seed of God. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. It's our prayer, Lord. To me this morning, and you want to use this exhortation to give somebody the Holy Ghost. Is that person here today, Lord? Is that person here, Papa? Whoever it is that you've decided to settle, Lord, by giving that person eternal life and experience, that we anchor that person who has been wallowing in sin and be wanting a way to come out. Is the person here today, Lord, you say you will use it to give somebody eternal life? Who is the person, Lord? Touch me one more time, oh Lord. Touch me one more time.
Yes, Lord, I need a touch
from the Master. I need a touch from the Lord.
Yes, touch me now.
Touch me one more time.
Oh Lord.
Every heart that is open here today, Lord, arrest that heart to your glory today in the name.